The Wisconsin State Senate voted to remove Megan Wolf as elections administrator last week. That triggered a lawsuit from Democratic Attorney General Josh Call. Well, now Republican lawmakers are moving to impeach Megan Wolf as the state's election administrator. It's Friday, September 22nd, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Congratulations on making it to another Friday. Coming up here on the program, two GOP lawmakers from southwestern Wisconsin are hoping to set aside funds for communities impacted by state college closures. Rich Kramer will bring us that story. And Evan Casey takes a look at Milwaukee's annual open house event, which is taking place this weekend. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Today makes staying current on Wisconsin news easy. You can enjoy these 10 minutes of statewide news with context thanks to community support. Join in now with your gift at wpr.org/givewi today.
1 week ago, the state Senate voted to fire Megan Wolf as Wisconsin's top election official. Now five Republican lawmakers are moving to impeach her. Anya Van Wagtendonk has the story.
The GOP representatives say Wolf should be impeached as administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission because she, quote, promoted and encouraged illegal voting behavior during the 2020 presidential election. In response, Wolf said the legislators were willfully distorting the truth. She said the Bipartisan Elections Commission creates the voting policies for which she has been criticized by some supporters of former President Donald Trump. Republicans in the state Senate voted last week to oust Wolf from her post. Attorney General Josh Call has filed suit, saying that vote was taken unlawfully and has no standing. And Wolf says that she will stay in the job unless and until a court tells her not to. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Gun violence prevention advocates were at the Wisconsin State Capitol yesterday. They were calling on lawmakers to act on legislation that they say will prevent gun deaths. Democrats have proposed a universal background check for gun purchases and a red flag law. That would allow a judge to temporarily remove guns from someone deemed to be at risk. Another bill is bipartisan support. It offers tax incentives on gun safety items like trigger locks. Anthony Cooper is the president and founder of Focused Interruption. That's a group that addresses gun violence in Dane County. He said he's fighting to break a pattern of gun violence across Wisconsin.
Only way that we're able to really change the things that are going on, especially around gun violence, is that the laws change.
Wisconsin sees an average of about 680 gun deaths per year. About two-thirds of those deaths are suicides. If you or someone you know is struggling, the Suicide Crisis Prevention Lifeline number is 988. Two GOP lawmakers from southwestern Wisconsin are hoping to set aside funds for communities impacted by state college closures. Rich Kramer reports their bill comes 2 months after classes ceased at a campus in Richland Center.
The legislation would establish $2 million grants for communities whose two-year branch campuses are closed by the University of Wisconsin system. One of those grants would go to Richland County after classes at the campus long known as UW-Richland ended July 1st. Richland County owns the buildings and grounds at the former college. County Board Chair Marty Brewer says the state funds would help pay for studies on the buildings to see if they're worth renovating or not.
Those are things we just don't know at this point. So this would go a long way in getting us at least in a position to be able to make plans for the future.
The bill would set aside two more grants for potential closures, though one bill author told WPR they haven't heard of any such plans yet. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
State Superintendent Jill Underlie called for hope in times of division and uncertainty during ongoing political challenges. During her State of Education address yesterday, Underlie referenced the children's story of the very hungry caterpillar. She said its messy transformation into a butterfly is an analogy of what's happened in public education since the pandemic. She also said she hopes for unity.
There is so much division and hate because it's easy to stoke fear in times of shifting and uncertainty and change. When we're fearful, it's easy to fall into a fighting stance.
Underlie promoted diversity and inclusion initiatives as making it possible for children to thrive in the classroom. Republicans gave their own address promoting the success of school choice programs. It's a big weekend in Milwaukee. Historic buildings and cultural sites in the state's biggest city will be open for tours this weekend. Evan Casey has more on Doors Open Milwaukee.
Over 130 sites in the city will be free to visit as part of the event. That includes many buildings that aren't normally open to the public. Alice's Garden Urban Farm is one of the sites. Venus Williams is the executive director of the garden. She says it's a chance to grow community.
Doors Open is an incredible opportunity for spaces like Alice's Garden and other venues throughout the city of Milwaukee to welcome people who would never in any other situation come through our gates.
20,000 people are expected to participate in Doors Open Milwaukee, which is in its 13th year. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we'll take a peek into a lighthouse along the shores of Manitowoc in today's episode of Wisconsin Life. Stay with us.
Gardening in Wisconsin is a year-round job, and Garden Talk is here for you throughout every season. We help you battle relentless pests and pick your favorite mulch. We also cover how to care for houseplants and successful methods for starting seeds inside. We want to know what keeps your garden growing. Join me, Larry Mueller, for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network, Fridays at 11 and Saturday mornings at 6, or online anytime.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about an iconic building in eastern Wisconsin.
On the western coast of Lake Michigan sits the city of Manitowoc, a place known for its deep connection with the water. And along its shore, a lighthouse, essential to the area's maritime history, stands tall, watching over the city. Molly Hunkin climbed inside to take us on a tour.
Okay, well, welcome to Manitowoc North Breakwater Lighthouse. You're about half a mile out in the lake here. Ludington is about 60 miles across the lake straight over here. So you're out in the center of things here.
Paul Reckel is a member of Manitowoc Sunrise Rotary, a locally based group which organizes fundraising events for the community. Within the past decade, they have also become the official caretakers of the Manitowoc North Breakwater Lighthouse. The lighthouse was built in 1918, making it over 100 years old. Its name comes from the structure that it's built on.
When you walked out here on the concrete, that's the breakwater. And basically what that is, it separates the lake from the harbor, and it makes a safe place for the ships to come in and be protected.
The building itself has 5 stories. Its first floor is a basement, which used to act as storage and a boathouse. In this portion of the basement was a dory, a small boat which lighthouse keepers used for rescues.
But you can read stories on it where the lighthouse keepers in its day would take care of the rescues out on the lake when they occurred. And even in the middle of winter, in a tremendous blizzard, at night, no lights, they had to listen to the sounds and actually push the boat out, hop in it, and go out and rescue the people and then bring it back in.
On the second floor, the motor room housed the motor to generate power for the light on top. Above that sits the watch room, where lighthouse keepers used radio equipment to keep in touch with boats out on the lake. In cases of stormy weather, sometimes lighthouse keepers stayed overnight in cots in this room, though they normally slept on shore. The diaphone room on the fourth floor used to be the location of the foghorn, also called a diaphone. Ships could activate the diaphone from the lake to warn of their arrival on shore. From the deck outside, you can see the Badger Car Ferry, which has been running since the 1950s, beginning its round trip between Manitowoc and Ludington, Michigan.
Two toots like that, that's a salute to us. Thank you.
After a brief climb up a small metal ladder, you reach what most people would think of when imagining a lighthouse, the lens house.
That's where the light that signals to the ships is located. And this particular light could be seen from 17 miles out in the lake, which is by no means...
The small room on top of the lighthouse holds no more than the light itself, with enough space for a few people around it. The expansive view looks out over Lake Michigan and the city of Manitowoc. After the need for lighthouse keepers disappeared, the building became run down. It succumbed to vandalism and the wear and tear expected for a building in the middle of a lake. But in 2011, the Manitowoc North Breakwater Lighthouse was put on auction by the Coast Guard. It was purchased by a man from Long Island, New York, named Philip Carlucci, for $30,000.
When you buy a property from the Coast Guard, you have to bring it up to standards and maintain it. So he stuck over $325,000 into it to get it in the condition it is in today.
The owner and Manitowoc Sunrise Rotary are collaborating with the Wisconsin Maritime Museum, also located in Manitowoc, to return historical objects and equipment to the building. Looking forward, the owner hopes to continue restoring the lighthouse to its original state.
Molly Hunken brought us that story on the Manitowoc Breakwater Lighthouse. The building itself is part of the Wisconsin 101 Project, which tells our state's history through objects. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. We made it through another work week together. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers today were Bridget Bowden, Mallory Chang, and John Davis. Can you believe September is almost over? Man, the 22nd already. You know where you can find us every single weekday morning, right here in that podcast feed. Hit that subscribe button. We'll show up automatically each morning. Tell a friend, or you could just leave a review and let us know how you think we're doing. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.